My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about the Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad, El Camino, Better Call Saul universe. And welcome to the Season 5 El Camino wrap-up transition episode to Better Call Saul.
Yeah, we're done with Breaking Bad. You know, Jesse and Walt's stories are over. We're going to get a little bit of them later, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. it was an object lesson preparing for this in how you... Too many special features at one time can have a deeply fatiguing effect.
I was losing my mind when I was sitting down to cover three DVDs worth of extra features.
Yeah.
I did not budget my time well.
And there's just deleted scenes get deleted for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, they're calling them the least essential deleted scenes of all time. you know, some of them have something to them. They're okay. But
yeah,
we're going to do, as usual, we're going to talk about the special features mm-hmm. and stuff that are on the bonus material here. And then read your responses to season 5 and El Camino.
Yeah. So I broke these up just by the, you know, half season and then El Camino, just because they were produced at different times. Mm-hmm. And the final season has like this kind of beatific, like victory lap kind of feel to it, which they deserve.
There's a whole disc.
There's
a whole disc of just like special features, largely about season 4. That's, and it's like a lot of the stuff we know.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the special feature itself is... I feel like something that has lost a lot of currency with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when DVDs first came out, I was very excited about them. You know, I was like, oh, there's no other way to get this. Something, once they started being produced actively,
yeah,
especially on AMC, they have the problem of repeating way too much stuff from just the show.
Yeah.
There's a nonstop reminding you of the context and kind of showing clips.
Mm-hmm.
Where every single one of them is the itchy and scratchy, like 40% new footage.
Uh-huh.
Shit, and I just need the hits. I just need the info.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the actors saying, like, now at this point, Walter has gotten in over his head. But
it's like, oh, finally. Yeah. I really need somebody to tell me that Walter's gotten in over his head. There should be, like, a little thing that beeps on the corner of the screen. There's a little picture of his head going, wah, 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 wah. And you know that he's over his head in that moment.
Yeah. That full disc, like, I scrubbed around the two-hour, 15-minute documentary, in quotes,
yeah,
about the series. It's all talking heads, and it's like pretty much everything I landed on was like talking about like one executive producer talking to another executive producer to get approval for something.
And yeah,
like, and then get me John Colick.
Some of that can be interesting trivia, but mostly it's just stuff again we know.
Yeah,
like we just know it from the production details, and they're just going to show me so many fucking clips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the thing. So it was a little fatiguing. Don't necessarily recommend it.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple of things that are neat.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about, including things that also feel like they shouldn't be exclusive to.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna get into all of it. It's a weird batch.
Yeah, it's very strange. So we got some deleted scenes. There are lots of them I didn't include, just because they're like extended and it doesn't add an awful lot.
Yeah,
but there are ones like the end of Madrigal where they echo the sad hand job at the beginning of the series, but make it terrifying instead.
Yeah, I hate this.
This is awful.
I'm so happy this got cut.
Yeah.
This sucks so bad. So like, this is when Walt, you know, is telling Skyler, you know, it gets easier. He thinks she's upset about Ted.
Yes.
She's really upset because she's, you know, lives in this terror. She's got this new reality. She's in over her head. There's a mm-hmm. little tiny picture of Skyler's head that pops up in the corner of the screen. Don't you know?
Bing!
And he does the normal thing. He says it gets easier. And then he kind of like kisses her neck and he says, you know, everything we do it for family. But then he kind of mounts her.
Yeah.
A little bit. Also echoing the, you know, that sex scene from the mm-hmm. end of that episode. And she just reaches down and gives him a hand job.
Like a terrified facing away from the person, like reaching behind hand job.
Yes. Like yeah. a really bizarre hand job while crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't need to see it.
Yeah.
And I feel like everything that is being done with a character here, everything this is implying was already implied.
Yes.
Like it's very unself-aware even for Walt
mm-hmm.
you know, to just be like, I don't know, jerk me off. And then when somebody just reaches back and kind of silently jerks you off,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you understand, you know, something's wrong at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It didn't feel like Walt is a monster, but he feels like a different flavor of monster to me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this wasn't in there. This sucks. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to see it.
Yeah. Really good. If they kept it in, it would have been really gratuitous and dark in a way that, yeah, it does feel tonally different.
Well, really writerly too. It's really just to do the parallel.
Yeah.
You know, just like, ooh, clever, clever. And it's like, get fucked.
Mm-hmm.
In 51, we have Hank and Marie asking Skyler about walking into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt is there kind of, there's something to the scene.
Yeah.
Skyler is saying, oh, she's just tired and everything, but Walt is figuring out her plan, basically,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That she's doing this to get the kids taken away. So he's walking around scheming. He's mm-hmm. like rubbing his chin and stuff while they're expressing concern.
Yeah. And then Marie says, like, okay, time for sister talk. All of this was implied. And also it's just repetitive questions to Skyler. Like, oh no, I wasn't trying to kill myself. I'm just tired. Just real fatigued. Yeah. A lot going on these days.
Yeah. With a problem domestic and abroad, who cannot walk into a pool. Again, all implied.
Yes.
Like implied better through the margins.
Mm-hmm. There's a scene from Dead Freight where Walt walks Jesse and Todd through the the previous train heist. I think that this mm-hmm. was just alluded to in the in the episode, maybe.
We talked about it.
We talked about it
as something that was talked about in a deleted scene.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So you see this here. This is like this is fun. But also, I could take or leave this in the actual episode. I like this last little gasp of high school teacher Walt kind of getting both of them like hyped up before, the murder of Drew Sharp kind of recasts everything.
And just lest nobody correct me, the way it's alluded to is Todd mentions it to his uncle, says it's the biggest train heist, but they don't know. Yeah. But we also talked about it in this episode
mm-hmm.
When we talked about Dead Freight.
Yeah.
Buyout is a little weird. Skyler wakes up hearing thumping around mm-hmm. at night, grabs her baseball bat, goes in the living room, and it's Walt throwing furniture around.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, what are you, Babe Ruth? Go back to bed.
Yeah.
He's freaking out because of the buyout offer.
Mm-hmm.
This is before he goes and steals the methylamine.
Right.
He's coming up with his plan. Again, we didn't need to see him do that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the strong things about that episode is being outside of Walt's mm-hmm. POV for a good portion of it, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty unnecessary. And also, again, you wake up your wife throwing furniture around, you dipshit.
Yeah.
I know he's not careful and he's getting more careless, but like, mm-hmm. it's real basic.
Yeah. OPSEC, bro.
Yeah. Horrible OPSEC.
The deleted scene from Say My Name is my favorite of these. This is just a funny joke.
Yeah, it would have been weird in that episode.
Uh-huh.
Like, do you remember him going through and putting everything into the Lewis hole? Like, mm-hmm. was a really sad meditative scene.
Yeah, so we're talking about...
I like this joke, but, you know.
The Lewis hole.
That's where Lewis lives.
Yeah, that's where Lewis lives now.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about Mike getting ready to leave. Mm-hmm. And he's dropping all of his guns and, you know, contraband into that well out in the desert. That's real contemplative, you know, just all this stuff, this finality, you're never going to get it back. But in this version, it ends, you know, he empties out his bag and then like a stray grenade rolls away. So he figures, mm-hmm. why not? He picks it up, he pulls the pin and drops it and waits. And it doesn't explode. And he walks away and says, I'm going to kill that guy.
Yeah,
somebody sold him a dud.
It's very funny. Like, it wouldn't have worked in the episode. Like, it would have, you know, because it's like an instrumental silent scene, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is very funny.
Yeah.
Then they do a thing. They got the idea to make a scene specifically for the DVD, which feels like Dirty Pool to me.
It really does. I watched this and I was like, okay, I could see why the network wouldn't want this because of the nudity that's in every frame. The titty.
Huge tits.
Yeah. But like when I watched the making of little thing that came with it, and it's like, oh, an executive wanted a selling point for the DVD. I was like, oh, well, that just sucks.
It feels a little bit like cheating. The scene itself I like. It's not, again, it's all stuff that was implied.
Yes.
You know, but there's good like dialogue here. This is well written here. Jesse and Skinny Pete are with a stripper at Jesse's house. Mm-hmm. This is during Gliding Overall. Skinny, you know, Jesse thinks he's gonna be arrested at any moment, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So he's living it up.
Mm-hmm.
Skinny Pete motorboats, the stripper. Badger has jury duty. He would love this, mm-hmm. you know? There's a bunch of, the stripper, like little subversions, like at some point Skinny Pete's going like carpe diem and trying to remember it. And the stripper mm-hmm. remembers it. Shit yeah. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse, they're talking about what they would do if they didn't have any time left.
Yeah.
You know, what would you do? And, Skippy, it's like this, mm-hmm. you know? And, Jesse's like, oh man, you know, and tells him about Don Eladio's house.
Yeah. All the women you know? And the pool and the booze.
Yeah. Skinny Pete says he wants a gold toilet, and Don Eladio might have had a gold toilet. It sucks that gold toilet is 100% just permanently associated with Trump
mm-hmm.
now. It, you know, it's, I hate to cancel Skinny Pete, but
he really should have looked 12 really years in the that. Future. Yeah.
Yeah. but he's talking about how cool it is, you know, how cool Don Eladio's house is. And then Skinny Pete's like, oh man, we should party with that guy. He's like, nah, he got poisoned.
Everybody got poisoned.
Everybody got poisoned, you know, and Skinny Pete's like, oh, that's kind of a buzzkill here. And it's a nice little microcosm of the, you know, the life, right? Like
yeah.
Skinny Pete and early season Jesse's idea of what this would be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then get that getting slammed down to reality with the horrifying events of Salud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Saul shows up yep. and he knows the stripper. She's a client. I love it.
Hey, Christelle. Hey, Saul.
How are the kids?
Yeah.
He just gives her a bunch of money for the kids. I fucking yeah, love it so much.
He gives her 20. He puts $20 in her G-string just incidentally. It's yep. really good.
He takes Jesse aside, and this is when Jesse finds out about Mike's guys getting killed in yep. prison when they got glowed overall. Yep. You know. And Saul frames it as a positive thing.
We're not going to go to jail. You know, we're probably good. However,
the
less positive thing is I got a little package for you.
Uh-huh.
And he gives it to him. It's a gun. Mm-hmm. Jesse doesn't want it. He's freaking out. Like, why would I need a gun? And we see Jesse also putting together. He's like, you know, Walt wouldn't do that to Mike's guys without the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is him figuring out that if this is true, Mike is dead.
Yes, and Mike is kind of the only person who would protect him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we get this bear thing that I like a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, Saul says, no, it's for bears. He's like, what do you mean? Well, you know, a bear, if it kills somebody, you can't really blame the bear. You know, somebody mm-hmm. wandered into its territory or anything like that. But at some point, you know, now they go down and hunt down that bear because it has a taste for blood.
Yes.
In Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about Walt.
Yes.
At this point, Walt has started cleaning up loose ends. It's really similar to the end of Goodfellas,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, what is it? Al Pacino, not Al Pacino. Who am I thinking of?
Ray Liotta.
No, the other guy, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro gets addicted to cleaning up loose ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. there. Good dialogue.
Yeah. And you know, Jesse can't see through it. He's not in Saul's colorful metaphor,
yes.
you know, land. And, you know, Saul leaves and Jesse doesn't let this stop the party. You know, he sits down and we have like early season three Jesse.
And this is right in the actual show. This would be right before Walt showed up with the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Jesse, you know, he talks to him and he asks whether Mike got out and, you know, I need you to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
That bit. I like the stripper dialogue a lot during this,
mm-hmm.
where she's like, you know, he's like, how much it would be to keep going? 300. It was more than before. I'm more tired than before, like just while dancing yeah. and uh-huh. stuff. Show weirdly does pretty well by strippers.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of the end.
Yeah. Now we're on to the first half of season five, kind of special features. A lot of glazing you're going to see in these. Yeah. Like there's one called Scene by Scene where it's just directors talking about what it's like to direct Breaking Bad. There's mm-hmm. one funny anecdote from, 1 minute.
Michelle McLaren.
Yeah. Michelle McLaren talking about like, yeah, you know, we needed a guy who was going to be shot in the head. So we squibbed a condom full of blood for the cousin to, you know, shoot him. And the condom didn't break when the squib went off. So you just, you know, they slow it down frame by frame. So you see this big condom full of blood just fly and they left it in because it looked kind of like brain.
It happens real quick.
Yeah.
This is fun to see the different directors kind of choose mm-hmm. a scene to talk about having directed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, no real insight, but you get to see a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, it is a lot of glazing, but relatively interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Gag reels. I love gag reels.
Yeah.
Gag reels are always great.
Yep.
Through here.
Great mic stuff. God. Jonathan Banks doing his, just like keeping kind of in Mike's character, but saying shit Mike would never say.
Yeah.
Like way funnier than when anybody does it.
It's the best kind of gag reel, I think, where somebody does something that would be a joke.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they it's very similar to the, when in the last season, in season four, where Mike tells Walt, he's like, you know, you're never going to see Gus again. And Bryan Cranston goes, yes, I will. I'm going to grab a gun and go to his house. And like, that shit's really funny to me. That always mm-hmm. works. In the second half of this, there's a missed opportunity for that. The actress who plays Lydia
mm-hmm.
could have done something very funny and doesn't.
Yeah.
During this, but like, I like this shit where somebody mm-hmm. just kind of keeps going with something.
Yeah. Mike saying, let me tell you something. I've been holding up my end of this operation with these two layabouts for a long fucking time.
Very funny. Yeah. And there's a bit in the Guitar Center mm-hmm. scene where they're buying the big cases for Vominos,
mm-hmm.
Where the Guitar Center clerk asks, what's your band's name? And Skinny Pete, the actor, I think, forgot.
Uh-huh.
So then Badger pops in and goes, Twat Hammer. And yeah. then pause. It's a double entendre. It's a penis. Pretty great. Really and that good. Doesn't even feel like a gag reel. That feels like that could have just been a deleted yeah. thing.
Uh-huh. And I love pulling up the wrong band name.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. You get something that is kind of interesting here, the writer's room time lapse. Mm-hmm. So they put a time lapse camera in the writer's room for the writing of 51. And you have the writers kind of talking over it as you see them kind of playing with Play-Doh and going in and out and eating lunch or whatever, trying to fill up the board as they break out the episode. I included this because I think it's really interesting. Like, I didn't know it took like 15 days to write an episode, like to break it out into the cards.
Yeah. Yeah. It like varies, but like this, it's a long time for yeah. sure. And it has a lot to do with their method. I feel like,
yeah,
it's interesting. You know, I mentioned before, I've kind of been doing a lazy watch of X-Files, which Vince Gilligan worked on as well, mm-hmm. and hearing the difference in, mm-hmm. You know, kind of getting everyone together to create this thing step by step versus, you get 3 days off, come back with 15 episode ideas, then hammer them out.
Yeah.
You know, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly, there's a celebrity all-star bowling from the Nerdist podcast network
mm-hmm.
That pops up there. The Nerdist has its greasy little fingers in AMC
yep.
properties. And this was something, you know, when we were talking about which features to cover, I was like, do we want to do this? It's a Chris Hardwick thing. I don't like Chris Hardwick. I'm sure he's a nice dude. I find him very difficult.
He's hard to watch. I don't know, like his energy and like the energy of like the crew around him.
Yes,
it is. It like, I don't know. Cringe is a loaded word. I just it's sweaty. They're trying way too hard.
It's sweaty. They're not funny.
Yeah,
you know, like just kind of universally not funny.
Mm-hmm.
But they had done like a bowling tournament. They have this bowling tournament thing where they have different groups. And
it's like
this is
YouTube
the segment.
Show. Yeah.
Like a YouTube show. This is the group with the Breaking Bad team. So they get Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul, RJ Mitty, and Betsy Brand.
Yes.
To bowl against them. Mm-hmm. And in teams of four, they have like one guy who absolutely can't bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They're really cracking each other up
mm-hmm.
with the kind of non-jokes. Even the good Breaking Bad people are just kind of like, whoa, you know, at one point, one of the Nerdist guys goes, I'm the one who knocks when he gets a strike. And like mm-hmm. Bryan Cranston freaks out laughing. And I'm like, this, man, those guys suck. They're bringing you down.
Yeah. No, don't let them diminish you. Don't do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But, you know, kind of fun to, our team wins.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't want the Nerdist to win. And right. It's fun. They're all good bowlers because apparently they do a Breaking Bad cast and crew bowling
mm-hmm.
Event.
You're out in Albuquerque, right? You don't have all the LA stuff. I imagine going to bowling, that's readily available. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super edited. So like everybody's getting strikes basically. Except for the match was actually really close.
Mm-hmm.
They just show a lot of strikes.
Yes.
For this. Yeah. So I don't know. It seems like Betty Brandt is really good in this because they show it a lot. But then mm-hmm. I started being suspicious about what they were showing.
Yeah.
At some point, because it's like the score didn't make a lot of sense for it being that good for a four-person bowling
team. Like 200 something. Like I think after the first frame, like their collective score is like 20 or something.
Yeah, but Betsy Brandt, very charismatic as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
does little dances after.
I guess she used to be a ballerina. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it's always good to see like RJ Mitty, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't, the forgotten, the furtive baby in this cast. He doesn't get interviewed and stuff a lot.
Yeah.
The actual winner of the tournament was Team Podcasters. You get to see how short Jimmy Pardo is.
Okay.
I always like it when you get to see Jimmy Pardo next to somebody because he's a miniature man.
Oh man. Podcasters should never appear.
It's a rough look. Mm-hmm. It's Mark Maron, one of the Sklar brothers, Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy Pardo. And then, another guy who I didn't recognize, but is also, you know, not a looker.
Yeah.
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 So, get some Jesse Thorne in there to handsome it up.
this is John Hodgman. Yeah.
To get some little, get some real sex appeal in here.
That mustache. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like the, I don't know how to feel about the art show, the Gallery 1988 thing.
Yeah.
Like, they filmed the cast and crew attending this gallery show in Albuquerque of what, like, fan art kind of stuff,
yeah.
But also stuff, like, specifically created for a Breaking Bad event.
Yeah, this kind of thing happens, mm-hmm. I feel like, in L.A. There's these themed kind of art show bits that are, like, half actual art show and half promotional event,
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's the kind of thing that, like, if that were happening in my town, I'd probably go to that.
Yeah.
Like, I go look at that. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then maybe Bryan Cranston will be there. You know, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, who gives a shit? Like, it might just be kind of a fun thing to do because you're in LA and there's always something to do.
Yeah.
Because you're in a city. But it's also, like, I was not super impressed with a bunch of the art.
Yeah. A lot of, just a lot of Bryan Cranston scowling face.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. Panic at the Disco is there. I have no idea why.
They live there.
Are they?
That's actually their apartment.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, I'm just joking. No, I just, they could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing Stops Us Train, which is kind of a little mini documentary about Dead Freight,
mm-hmm.
Talking about getting that online, how much work that took.
Yeah.
You know, how many people were involved.
Mm, especially when the train broke down and they couldn't move it.
Yes.
You know, they're just like, yeah, no, you're not going to get a second train.
Yeah, big deal. You know, that happened. They fixed it. You know, everybody's real happy with each other. But we get to check in with mm-hmm. everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Here, they have an on-set snake wrangler.
This
who goes
guy.
Through and, like, snake whispers.
Uh-huh. Like, talking about the different rattlers that are around.
Yeah. Like, and you have to be careful of them and feeds one into a little bag and then keeps walking.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. Just, like, things you maybe wouldn't think of for production.
Mm-hmm. You also get to see the actor who plays Drew Sharp, who had, like, the best day of his life.
Yeah, because he loved the show.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was a big fan. He knew motocross, so he could actually do the thing. He was comfortable with tarantulas, you know, the two things that were required for Drew Sharp.
Yep.
You know, must love motocross and tarantulas.
Uh-huh.
And he's just, he's really confident. Talking to the camera to be on this DVD thing. It's really cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you get some audition tapes, kind of the new characters for season 5, Jesse Plemons and the new actors, Jesse Plemons and then Laura Fraser, you know, Todd and Lydia.
Yeah. And this, one of these, the Lydia one, I want to get through quick cause it's not particularly good.
Yeah. It's just her doing the diner thing. She's just her at the diner.
Yeah. Yeah. And she does a fine job. She's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Todd one is interesting because of wanting to protect the story, they would have actors audition with fake scripts that would get across the character, but were entirely different situations.
It was super interesting watching that. Cause
yeah,
like you can tell exactly where in the, like, oh, this is when he's trying to justify having killed Drew Sharp immediately after that. Yeah.
But instead he's a soldier talking to his commanding officers about killing an innocent girl in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And just justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through himself. And it's really, you could see why they cast him
mm-hmm.
because he captures Todd really, really well in an entirely different situation. Like this feels like an alternate universe Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's probably Todds in the military as well.
You know? Gary, like, I guarantee you there's at least one Todd in the military.
Yeah. If you don't know the Todd in the military, you are the Todd in the military. It's really cool. It's really good. It was really interesting from a perspective. It never, you know, I could have conceived it. It's not beyond my wildest imagination, but I never mm-hmm. really thought about the idea of writing a spec scene to cast a character. Like what would be a thing that would show this character's qualities without actually being, yeah. you know, from the media.
It was a really uncanny feeling watching that and recognizing where that monologue came from. The, you know, like it was, I had to make a call. It was her yeah. or me. I was going to choose me, you know?
Yeah. I'm always going to choose us. You know, I'm always mm-hmm. going to like doing, going through the little bits mm-hmm. That he does. Like it was good. It was really mm-hmm. cool. Really interesting.
Yeah. It's really funny when you talk about a fifth season that is broken in half, that you have a documentary feature called No Half Measures.
Yeah.
Moving on to the final season here. Yeah.
Yes. So deleted scenes. We get a couple for Blood Money mm-hmm. Here. Hank tells Marie that Skylar needs help. Mm-hmm. You know, this is him setting up to tell Marie about Walt.
Yes.
And all that stuff.
Yeah. A little bit more preamble. Didn't necessarily need that. The build up to it. There's one called She's an Earner. So this is after the shootout where Declan meets his Declan.
Fuck. We do get a lot of Declan yeah. in these special features. They show a lot of things from Say My Name.
Uh-huh.
Like that. It shows up as like a non sequitur later in the thing too, where they just show the beginning of that scene. And I think it's because somebody up there likes me and they knew I wanted to see my boy just a little bit more.
Rip. You know? Rip's yeah. my boy.
I don't think he shows up in Better Call Saul.
No, he doesn't.
In fact, I know he doesn't, but what if he did?
What if he did?
I haven't seen it since the last time I saw it. Maybe they changed it or patched it to put it in Declan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
All of us deckheads getting our last little drips cut. And drops.
Yeah. He would be around.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know.
His character's killed in the Saw movies.
Yeah. 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 He's that kind of actor. He's not expensive.
But this is after the shootout. Kenny wants to shoot Lydia. But Jack says, she's an earner, right? Like, you know, yeah, can't kill her. You know, she's a cash cow, right?
Yep. During Rabid Dog, Walt was talking to Junior at the hotel pool, and he calls for the meetup with Jesse. Mm-hmm. At the City Plaza, we see the other side of this. We see Hank listening to the voicemail instead. So again, better implied.
Yeah, but better economy of story, I think. Yeah.
And again, staying out of Walt's head largely. Mm-hmm. We don't spend very much time with Walt in that episode.
No.
Yeah.
Granite State. So this is an extended version of Jesse's escape attempt. It is like bone chilling in the lead up to have Jack, you know, telling Jesse, you know, who's screaming, like, you know, you have to remember you're the one who did this, as he sends Todd in. But it is still, I think, more shocking and more effective just to cut to Todd there.
Yeah. And the, having all of the Nazis just stand with a flashlight on Jesse for a long time is very horror movie.
Uh-huh.
Coded, it's weird. It's very like, we know all your secrets. It's very odd looking, but striking.
Yes.
During Felina, we just get to see the script, but it's that scene we talked about where Walt meets an old student.
Mm-hmm.
Relieves his watch, you know, was I a good teacher? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. We talked about that in the episode.
Yeah. And I just love that it's a JPEG of a script. I was like, okay, all right. Cool. Yeah.
You can, no animatics.
Mm-hmm.
The No Half Measures is that documentary we talked about. It's feature length. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I feel like we have covered a lot of the making of the series during this. And my, like, even what we're talking about, the abbreviated version of the special scenes was hours.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of special scenes.
Yeah. You get the uninterrupted, like, uncut evidence tapes of, like, Walt's confession and Jesse's confession. Mm-hmm. Which is good. You can see what's pulled out of these fucking Jesse's. Just the way that he works up. The kind of the highlight is him recalling killing Gail, right? And the episode, like, little parts of this were used when the Nazis were making fun of him for crying.
But just only a couple. We get to see the uninterrupted Walt's confession, but we saw most of that in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is only kind of alluded to in the episode, so this is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just good acting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just from a technical standpoint, I like that they demonstrate the layers of a sound mix, because sound is really easy to take for granted in a mm-hmm. in a movie. So they're like, okay, we're going to show you this little scene. It's Hank having his panic attack leaving the party after finding the Leaves of Grass book. And they're like, yeah, so we have like the production stem, the stuff that was captured on set or on mm-hmm. location. And then we have like music. And then here are like these layers of sound effects to like ultimately, you know, build it out and give you the full effect. So kind of showing that kind of layer by layer is neat.
Yeah, neat. Another gag reel kind of thing. This is the one where I was mentioning Lydia, that actress, Laura Fraser, messed up the opportunity because when she's being handcuffed to the table, Mike doesn't close the handcuff on her wrist and she should have joked to run.
Oh, she should have got up and just bolted. Yeah.
Yeah. And it would have been really funny, but instead she just kind of like sits there like a deer in headlights until they reset. You know, I'm not really blaming her. She's a professional and stuff, but it would have been funny.
Yeah. She's in Lydia headspace too.
Yeah. So. And relatively new to the crew. Maybe she doesn't know how welcome it is to fuck around.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we also don't know how welcome it is. We see, you know, gag reels, but these are all being edited for our production. Like, we have no idea. We don't know these people.
everybody groaning at Bryan Cranston shit.
Put on your fucking pants, Cranston. Like, it'd be weird to recast the character. We want to so bad. Like, to any actor who will be a fucking professional, Cranston.
Time is money.
Time is money. Put on your goddamn pants. Stop showing us your butt, you sex pervert.
We can't keep paying settlements, Brian.
Yeah, people get in trouble for this. How are you? This is a big deal, man.
How are you walking? How are you a free man?
Yeah, this is she just does that in missed opportunity. But other than that, there's little bits here that are funny.
I do like Marie asking Jesse if he wants her and Hank to adopt him.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And a lot of things that like won't work.
Yeah.
You know, Hank, the garage door won't work, which is funny. He keeps clicking it. At one point, Walt turns on the sink and it doesn't work.
Yep.
Which was interesting, like kind of in seeing deleted scenes from previous seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, we understand the set of the house and what they had to do to make water work. Like, that was from a previous scene. So they just hadn't done that at that time.
Yeah.
Fun stuff, though. Always love gag reels.
Then we get kind of deeper, kind of like closer looks at how they executed the big shootouts. We have the one from the end of Tehachapi, and then we have the robot machine gun rampage from the finale.
Yes. This is just good production stuff.
Yes.
Like, this is just interesting. You know, everyone is enjoying having the guns around. There's like a lot of high tension.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh man, guns are cool. Yeah. They get the gun guy to come out and explain guns to them. Yeah. As somebody who doesn't know guns, I know you're going to hold this in short, sharp bursts, not just squeeze it. Yeah, I know that from video games.
Yeah.
I never touched a gun and I know that.
It's the Starship Troopers. Spritz.
Starship Struples.
Starship Struples.
Struple waffles. The Starship Scruples.
Everybody's favorite party game from the 90s.
It's even more the next generation. The SS Scruples is going through doing morality plays for the entire universe.
Oh yeah, but everybody's having fun, and like you see about the blocking, it's like, okay, like, we're firing blanks, and you know, Jack's actor says something like, yeah, no, you need to be careful because like these are blanks, but like it'll still shoot out the wadding, like this can kill people.
And like, I love seeing the Nazis talk about, you know, just as actors, so they're like sitting there with a swastika on their neck and they're just being like real reasonable, calm actors talking about this stuff.
I guess I didn't realize that they're not going to like waste they're not going to waste squibs by just squibbing the ground. That when you see the hits, you know, that miss in the, you know, in the dust, that's guys off screen shooting dust balls from paintball guns.
Yeah. It's also one of the things that I noticed about this is that Hank, it was very emotional for Hank, and he was kind of resistant to it happening.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of people hugging Dean Norris. During this. And I guess I never really thought about like having the rap for your character be really emotional.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe, you know, I'm not an actor. So neat though. And then they show, we kind of switch into the robot. This is really cool. They show the inside and the outside. And the trick was they had to time up all of the squibs and the, when they go inside, the impact on the Nazis to this swinging arm.
Yeah.
And they kind of had to like improv it.
Yeah.
It's really neat. Like
that contact device where they ran all the squib lines to, and like, just like running the nail over, like over each of the contacts to make them fire, like the seven miles of squib cable, like for fucking, it's wild.
It's super wild. It was really impressive. Like seeing it kind of put together step by step.
Yeah.
You know, really, really neat.
And you know, I guess I didn't think, like, of course the outside set's going to be different than the inside. You can only do it once. So like all of this is very high, all of it's very high stakes. And then also like just the seeing the crew throw debris at Walt and Jesse after the tackle.
Yeah. Great. I the reason why I can't make movies is because I was watching this and I was like, oh, I would just find a wall and shoot it.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is ludicrous. 7 miles of squibs. Like, what if you just shot it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm out here making metastasis in my head, doing fucking the cheap ass version of it. Just like, how can you do this quick and easy for a telenovela?
Yeah. Just, just fire a real gun. Come on.
Yeah. We get an alternate ending to this. This was a joke that Bryan Cranston made that they decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
This, where it's Hal from Malcolm in the Middle waking up after dreaming about the Say My Name scene and describing this to Lois.
Yeah.
I love Lois. Jane Kaczmarek is incredible.
Yep.
Real fun to have her on set.
Yeah. Like,
I wasn't a huge Malcolm in the Middle guy, but I watched it incidentally because it was on the same network The Simpsons was on.
Yeah, it was on like before it or after it or something. It's cute.
It's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the good ones, right? Like, if I'm not going to watch it, but if I had to judge it on pass fail, like, it seems like there's quality there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fun seeing Bryan Cranston get to do the kind of simpering howl thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's neat. And she blames all of this on him growing a beard.
Yeah. That's great. He's doing the simpering thing. He's talking about how he's married to a tall, beautiful blonde. And she says, keep dreaming, pal. As if Jane Kaczmarek is not a
fun catch. Yep.
Yeah. The one where he's constantly putting, sugar and stuff into her food when she's pregnant to make her ass huge. Like, come on, man. She says, go to sleep, Scarface. And he kind of gets and starts kissing on her and stuff. And implied to be rubbing his, not implied, he's putting his dick on her asshole.
Yeah.
And she's like, is that you knocking on my back door?
Mm-hmm.
Weird dialogue.
Yeah.
I can't, as somebody who's been with women, been in relationships, I can't stuff. I can't imagine somebody saying that phrase.
No.
It's a weird way to say it.
Instant mood killer.
Yeah. And when he goes, I'm the one who's knocking, and she says, quit poking me with that thing.
Uh-huh.
Also a weird way to describe sex, dicks, and them being near butts.
Yeah.
You know?
And they end with the life is unfair.
Yeah.
Staying. Yeah.
Cute. He has his pork pie hat on the table. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a dream. He brought the hat with him from the dreamlands.
Yeah. Freddy Krueger shit.
Yep. but cute. You know?
Very cute. And they got like the younger people on the crew, like on the writing staff, their little laptop monkey is just the person who's responsible for taking notes.
Yep. That guy, he wasn't good enough to write the chicks and guns thing,
but he gets to write this.
Mm-hmm. The bad memories is just Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul talking about the final season shoot, kind of giving each other shit.
Yeah.
Talking about outtakes, how hard it was to land certain line deliveries, talking about, Aaron Paul tells Bryan Cranston that his character dies. He's not in the last episode and strings him along for a long time.
Yep.
Very funny.
Yeah. The timing on this was really interesting. Just we're halfway through, they've got four episodes in and they don't know
Jesse's read ahead. Brian didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about their rap parties, the season two wrap up, they dress as each other. The season three, Walt went as Skyler and Jesse went as Jane, and giving fuel to the weird online thing of transvestigating Aaron Paul. There's a lot of talking about how he makes a gorgeous woman and Bryan Cranston doesn't. And there's a real like, no shit. Like Bryan Cranston's like 60 or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And then also just, I'm like, it's a weird, weird thing.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I look good. And they're just like, the guys would be like wanting to fuck you and stuff. It's, it's a little weird. It wouldn't be weird if I wasn't aware of
the meme.
Of the meme. Yeah. Of discourse and stuff. It would just seem like a joke. But then once you know the memes and stuff, it ends up feeling weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You make a gorgeous woman. I've been told that. And you see the pictures and like, okay. Yeah. All
right. Yeah. Well, he's just an attractive human.
Yeah.
And makeup.
Yeah.
Make you look more womanly.
Here's the thing. Hot people are hot.
Yeah, exactly.
He's at 11.
There are gendered features. Like Bryan Cranston has very masculine, craggy features.
Mm-hmm.
I am too poisoned by online to appreciate the jokes of this.
It seemed like they had fun.
Cute.
Mm-hmm.
Scene envy. This is really cute. It's the actors going through talking about which scenes they would have loved to have been in through here. And these are, you know, some of them are just kind of nothings,
yeah,
you know, but some of jokes. Them are, you know, just jokes, but it's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I love Dean Norris just being like, I really want more scenes with Aaron Paul. Like, I don't really care what they were. I just really love that guy and I loved acting with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very sweet.
Yeah. And it's true. They didn't get a lot of time on screen together, you know?
Yeah.
Betsy Brandt and Bob Odenkirk really wanted to go and be part of the parties. Like, they talk about Betsy Brandt like trying to sneak into the back of the party scenes.
Yeah, just as a meth head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Anna Gunn and Betsy Brandt wanted to do more action scenes, so they wanted to go on little field trips, like a little Thelma and Louise spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jesse Plemons wanted to be part of that ATM episode. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have made any sense for his character. I think he just really liked that episode.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Spooge. So we get to see Spooge before we leave as well for Spooge heads.
And then RJ Mitty wanted to have a scene in Saul's office. He just wanted, he wanted to be around Bob Odenkirk, which can't blame him.
Yeah. Who wouldn't, you know, they mm-hmm. only get the one scene in the show where they meet at the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
El Camino, again, they're calling them the least essential deleted scenes of all time. Skinny Pete, it's a lot of Skinny Pete procedural stuff.
Yes.
We get to see him flushing the drugs down the toilet, practicing what he's going to say to the police, hiding the car in detail,
mm-hmm.
you know, like putting the pool cover over it, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Things that were implied. Weirdly enough, I was expecting the interrogation scene to be in there, which is from the trailer, mm-hmm. but that's just from the trailer.
Yeah. That's a feature later on. Just they've got the two, we can just talk about that there. They have the two special things shot for the promo. Skinny Pete saying, I'm not going to put Jesse Pinkman back in a box. And then Jesse, you know, listening to the radio and learning that he's a person of interest. So
As promos rather than deleted scenes, like the line between those things is very fuzzy.
Yes.
It could work as either.
Yeah. We see the stuff that would have been a minor story beat that they cut, that Jesse got wounded in the shootout and Ed had to find him and patch him up.
Mm-hmm.
Not essential. And then just more of him fucking around in the hotel.
Yeah. When he calls Jane, you know, after 4 days out. And then an extended scene of when their car breaks down.
Yeah.
They have a talk, you know, at the end of the movie where he says, you know, it's a cool philosophy to go where the universe takes you. And she says, mm-hmm. that sucks.
Yeah.
There's lead up to it.
Yeah. It's good just to get more Kristen Ritter. But, you know, the version that we get is fine.
The stuff was, they hit us with the part that was important.
Yes.
You know, I feel like.
Yeah.
Gag reel in this is pretty funny. I like Jesse leaving with Candy and not being able to get the tape for the police tape back.
Uh-huh.
That's real cute. And then Candy be like, just fucking leave it. You know, like, anytime a character stays in character when something like that doesn't work, it ends up making a funny bit.
Yes. Very funny.
And then Jesse being very funny here.
So when, you know, Jesse coming out of the back of the box truck in Alaska and him not knowing that it was cold and there was snow there. It's like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. this is the summer?
Yeah. I love it. This is the summer, you know, just like, I know there'd be snow in Alaska, you know, fucking Mike, man, I'm going back in my hole and goes back into the car. It's
just
very funny.
Just undoing the entire movie.
Yeah.
Good.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little short here, another like exclusive thing, with Todd leaving a message on Lydia's voicemail, building his little snow globe of the two of them.
Yeah. Saying, with like, oh, the Albuquerque Symphony Orchestra's going to be playing the next time you're in town. We don't have to stay for the whole thing if it's lame. Just like him trying to like, oh, she's a fancy lady. Like, let's get her some culture.
Yeah, he's really trying.
Yeah.
You know, she picks up and says, you know, is anything wrong? And he says, no, I'm just calling to see what's up. And she hangs up.
Yeah.
She is just not that into Todd.
Cruel. Yeah.
Yeah. We got those two little promos we mentioned. There's a really great little commercial here for Old Joe's Salvage.
Yeah, this is cute.
I love this. I love local commercials generally, and this is very sweet.
Yeah. It's just, you know, Old Joe talking about like, oh, do you need to make a car disappear? And it's like him like just doing green screen stuff and then just like appearing in a magician's outfit.
Yeah,
very fun.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now we're going to do your responses.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody for writing in. As always, that is duckfeed.tv/contact. You can write in about specific bits about Better Call Saul whenever.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have them. Just keep them separate.
Yes.
You
keep
know?
Them separate and to the season that we're talking about when you're right, I think,
yeah.
is the big one. Yep. Getting in here, Eric gives us the easiest would you rather in the entire world, saying, if you had to pick one, who would you want to be your dad, Uncle Jack or Mac's dad? Talking about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I have a choice, but I don't think it's the easiest one of all time.
Oh, like, not, yeah, okay. Do you want, would you rather be, you know, shot in the head or get a, you know, get oral sex? Like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it's quite that. Like, yeah. Mac's dad sucks. Uncle Jack, obviously Nazi, you know, he seems to treat his nephew pretty well.
That's true.
Like, Nazi is a big deal, but like, he's a good uncle.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to Mac's dad, who like early on, Mac's dad is like misunderstood,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then ends up being a crazy homophobe.
Oh, and, shit. Like, I forgot about
unaccepting of his kid. Like,
shit. Yeah. I forgot about later Mac's dad. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't blink.
You know? Can't be around that. Always asking me to spray to mist his eyes.
Yeah. He asks you to boof shit. For like jail and stuff. Like, he's not a good dad.
No.
Like, they do jokes around it with him not being as bad as they think, with his, like, you know, gonna take Mac out to the ball game or whatever, to the baseball hall of fame. But that's just a joke. Like, the show has a pretty elastic reality.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad's reality is pretty set, and Uncle Jack, Nazi, murderer.
Yep.
Seems like a good uncle. Has a playhouse. Like a clubhouse? I don't know.
Yeah, has a playhouse. Like, okay, between the two of them, Uncle Jack would probably be better at helping you move.
100%. Like, one of them is practical and one of them is moral. Yeah. And we also don't know that Mac's dad isn't a Nazi.
He's got a lot of time in prison.
Tattoos. Yeah. So, like, I would still choose Mac's dad because Nazis suck. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's super cut and dry.
Okay.
Like, to me.
Mm-hmm.
I find this tough.
Very tough.
So,
yeah, you convinced me.
Gavin writes in and says, great recap, though I'd like to politely disagree that the look between Kubi and Huel meant they were relieved Walt didn't think they stole. I interpret it as, while they didn't take it all, there was an informal understanding Walt sending two scam artists to move a giant pile of loose cash meant that maybe 2% would disappear, and close enough affirmed that they hadn't been too greedy.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily Walt would know, mm-hmm. like, look at the tops of the bins and be able to know close enough versus,
right.
you know, the thing. That mm-hmm. might have been the implication that, like, you know, it's close enough in that, like, if you stole a little bit, I wouldn't know.
Still, regardless of whether or not they stole, like, it would be relief that he wasn't going to be a huge dick about this.
Yeah. But yeah, that's valid. That's possible for sure.
Yeah. Chief Volpe writes, as a teenager, Felina felt like a perfect finale to a perfect show. But as I've gotten older and rewatched the series a few times, I've begun to chafe at just how perfect it is. Skylar and Flynn get Walt's money. Walt gets to kill a bunch of Nazis. He spares Jesse impulsively. And he looks in the camera and says, I'm actually the show's villain, before promptly shooting himself to death on accident with a high caliber bullet, effectively beating cancer by killing himself before the cancer can take him. For a series that's never shied away from tearing Walt down, the finale feels like the universe handing Walt everything he wants on a silver platter.
Yeah, we talked about this in the finale. Mm-hmm. This is just, for me, I don't agree with that, but I also, like, I don't think you're wrong for it. It's just different interpretation of it. I feel like the one of the things that these show creators are good at is showing non-martial punishments.
Mm-hmm.
This comes up a lot more successfully in the end of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
But to me, Granite State was kind of the Walt punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of living out in that thing, you know, living out in that cabin, slowly dying of cancer, 100% isolated, dealing with that for as long as he dealt with it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
On top of, it wouldn't be a show if that was the end of the show.
Yeah.
You know, so like through part of it just being dramatic necessity and part of it being, I don't actually think he gets off that easily, or this is that happy of an ending for him personally.
Yeah. Different priorities. How much importance do you place on, like, the last note that's played, right?
How much importance, and then how much do you, you know, how Old Testament does Walt need to be punished?
Right, yeah.
You know, dying, being shot and bleeding out, like being shot in the gut and bleeding out doesn't feel like that much better than dying of cancer alone in a cabin.
Yeah.
to me, like it's he does get his money to his family,
yeah,
you know, who are largely innocent. And I also just like that Jesse's not a meth slave.
Yeah.
Like doing that kind of thing, I think, is a really poetic, and there's momentum behind that as the last little bit of their connection.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I've been saying the whole season, like Walt loves Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
He always has, you know, through this, there is a kind of love there, even when he's really shitty.
Yeah.
I feel like there not being any kind of closure on that would have felt really unsatisfying to me.
Yes. And I don't think that he spared Jesse impulsively. I think that he knew he was hit. Yeah. But also he went back with the assumption that Jesse had paired up willingly, you know, was working yes. with these guys and taking his formula, et cetera. All he has to do is look at Jesse and see. Right.
Yeah. I think that's what Chief Volpe means is that he wasn't going there to do something good. Mm-hmm. He was going there. He saw Jesse and then did it right then on the spot impulsively.
Yeah. I guess I see impulsively and I fill in frivolously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it just means like not pre-planned.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Robin says, when people tell me that the fifth season of Breaking Bad was unnecessary, I feel like I'm discussing TV with aliens. I guess to them, Breaking Bad would be a neater, tighter story if it ended at season 4 with Gus Fring's elimination. Tighter, sure, but not a richer story. And wouldn't be that tight anyway. Would Breaking Bad be without Hank finally finding out that Walter was Heisenberg? I love season 5. It's one of my favorite seasons of television. It serves as an entertaining downward spiral full of tragedy and mishap. It's got so many oh crap moments, with Ozymandias being maybe my favorite episode of television of all time. I'm certain I wouldn't treasure Breaking Bad nearly as much as I do without the final season.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a weird hindsight thing that happens with Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's also like I like tight stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, like tight lots of shit. But also there's, you know, similar to what you're saying in the last episode with getting the kind of closure on the Walt Jesse thing. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff that wouldn't get wrapped up.
Yeah.
Without season 5, like we wouldn't have gotten, like, I don't think Mike would have had an arc.
Oh God,
to the same degree, like all this stuff that's very valuable, uh-huh. even if it isn't as neat, like it's just good shit. It reminds me a lot of people talking about the cartel stuff in Better Call Saul.
Right.
There are people who wish that was just not part of it. And it was just lawyer hours. And like,
mm-hmm.
that's
kind of necessary.
Like, yeah.
Also,
I like
it. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. More than it being necessary. I just like it. Uh-huh. It's really good. Yeah. You know, everything with Nacho is really deep, and uh-huh. giving Mike as thematic and strong a character arc and development, mm-hmm. seeing his downfall with the same level of zoom that we saw Jesse or Walt's is great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want that so much.
Yeah. Like, I don't know that you don't get as much Mike. Like, you don't get the same kind of Mike. You don't see the way that he becomes what you see in Breaking Bad. Yeah.
And you don't get any Mike. And like, mm-hmm. it is weirdly, Better Call Saul is very weirdly procedural. Like the idea that we have to actually see how the super lab was built.
Right.
You know, I didn't care about that, but within that, because these creators are really good, you get a lot of high quality shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I love Werner Ziegler as mm-hmm. a character. I love this little bastion, you know, this thing Mike has to do.
Yeah.
At the end of this, that is kind of this moment. And then I love Nacho's dad calling him on it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're already gone. You know, the way that Better Call Saul functions as multiple people having kind of a battle for their soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Saul, mm-hmm. you know, his arc, which is the focus. We have Kimmy. Jimmy and Kimmy, Double mm-hmm. Dragon 3. We have Kim Wexler, you know, and who's kind of redeems herself at the end, mm-hmm. but gets right up to the brink. And then we have Mike, who is gone before he knows it.
Yes.
With this stuff. Like, it's really strong, I think.
Yeah.
Personally.
Agreed. I agree with Robinson. Season 5 is, you know, necessary. You know, was it, I don't know. I think people are, you know, probably thinking just like, okay, it was a really difficult plane to land. And maybe they're just like remembering it being bumpy in the moment or something. I don't know.
Well, and season 4, like it's a real showstopper, right?
Yeah.
Like Gus is very compelling. That last like 4 episodes that lean to the end of season 4 is the most tense TV mm-hmm. has ever been. Like it is hard to equal it.
Yes.
You know, but dealing, one of the things that Breaking Bad and Vince Gilligan does that's really good is deal with the fallout of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you just end with that climax and we don't deal with the logistics, like there's a reason why the first season of season 5 is immediately a logistical episode.
Yes.
we did the thing, but there's so much fucking more to do. It never ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I can't imagine losing that mm-hmm. theme.
Yeah. Let's see here. Is this me or you for Zane?
This is you.
This is me. So Zane says, when I went to my first conference as a chemistry PhD student, my mentor told me that whenever I left the conference center, I should hide anything that identified me as an attendee. They said that gangs would kidnap chemists to make their drugs for them, and that I would be safer if I didn't have my ID badge showing. This was a year or two after Breaking Bad ended, so my mind immediately went to the cage they had Jesse in. I have no idea if my mentor actually thought this was a thing that happened, but those scenes left such an impression of despair on me that I always hid my ID badge, and pretend to be a useless physicist, just in case. Fucking physicist. I love the intramural science burns.
Yeah, that's great.
That seems very implausible to me.
It does, but it is scary.
Oh, it's a scary idea.
Yeah, and super scary idea. Like, I get it.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything to hide your badge. It's just...
I do it for gaming conventions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't want to go walk into a coffee shop and just be like, it's these fuckers again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. make anybody have a bad day.
Yeah.
That is a great, great anecdote.
Yes.
The Listed Gamer writes in saying, I've recently been watching through Breaking Bad for the second time with my girlfriend, and it's her first time seeing the show, besides moments that we all know through cultural osmosis. And I realized a big part of the show is just getting used to Walter's BS. While certain moments, such as Walt breaking back into his house, still fill me with disgust, his abuse of Jesse and mistreatment of Skyler can feel less terrible just because we know what's in store down the line in comparison. My girlfriend is taking a few days between episodes because the drama just gets too intense between the characters. It can feel suffocating. And we aren't even past 1 minute yet. I'm very excited to see the difference between a new watcher and someone rewatching once we get to the amazing Walter versus Gus section of the series. Love your work.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Listed Gamer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It is easy to forget that we used to watch this with one week in between episodes.
Yeah. And it's like, it's hard to go back to what it would be like to see it the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I'm able to tap into that, but like also it is like institutional memory, you know, collective memory now.
It's just there. It's just in the bones. Yeah.
It, and for me, it's a thing too, where I don't have the, having to tap out of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Intensity draws me along.
I lean into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really bad at taking breaks in shows and stuff. Like one of the reasons why I don't watch a lot of TV is because I will fucking chug it.
Yeah.
I'm really uncomfortable leaving things, you know, unknown.
Yeah.
Like what happens next is super powerful on me.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Yeah. Eli says, over the course of this year's long rewatch of Breaking Bad, I've been reminded multiple times of one of my all-time favorite films, No Country for Old Men. Loving shots of the American West, a high level of tenseness both in pure dialogue scenes and in the brief and hyper-violent action scenes, and more than anything, a trait I like to call the supreme competency. Mike in Better Call Saul pretending to be a janitor to go into a woman's restroom to buy a sanitation pad to plug up his gunshot wound mm-hmm. at the end of season one is my premier example of this trope that I have made up. As I watch Walter negotiate with the Nazis for Jesse's quick death, I'm reminded of another part of No Country for Old Men, the movie's tagline, and ultimately one of the big themes of the movie and also the novel, there are no clean getaways. Having recently watched the 4K version of No Country, which felt like seeing it again for the first time, and seeing the end of Breaking Bad for the first time since it came out, it's really great to see three auteurs who were absolutely killing it in the late aughts in terms of the greatest themes one could get out of a neo-Western story.
Yeah, well observed.
Mm-hmm.
I need to watch New Country again.
It's been, I think the last time I saw it was like really close to when it came out. I saw
same.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember liking it a lot, mm-hmm. but I just haven't rewatched it.
Yeah.
And I love the petty crime with huge consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Coen brothers, like subgenre.
Yeah.
I would agree. Breaking Bad owns a lot too.
Yes. You know, I was going to say like there's, I mean, especially, yeah, I don't know, like late season one, early season two feels real Coen brothers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. At least tonally. Yeah.
Real hard for me to get into media now that doesn't have consequences.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I want to have the logical spin out of what happens and the traumas these characters have because it mm-hmm. just makes it feel more believable to me.
Yes.
Like, what is it? Is it in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? There's a, I can't remember which movie it is, but where like a guy wraps a shirt around his hand and punches through a glass window. And then he cuts himself and he's bleeding really bad and ends up not being able to break into the thing. He has to, you know, and it's kind of funny, but it's not played that way. It's played like, you know, you just kind of assume this would work, but there's, the world is so much fucking more complicated than you think it is. Like you are taking a risk and with that comes like almost bleeding out. Like you could cut, you could nick a vein.
Yeah.
You know, doing this, this little thing you've seen in movies.
Yeah.
Like, people, I really love that.
That's a real burn after reading kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, can be played for comedy as well. Mm-hmm. Like it, it's kind of both, right? Like it's a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Doug says, I don't know what more I can that can be said about the incredible finish of Breaking Bad. So I figured I'd share two personal anecdotes. First, I remember when my wife and I first watched Ozymandias, we knew the episode was going to be big simply because of the namesake Shelley poem used for promotion. But when we saw it, our jaws were on the floor. So much so that we actually watched the whole thing again immediately. I don't think we've ever done that with any TV episode before or since. When it came time for Felina, we hosted a viewing party and made it a costumed affair. I'm a lawyer, so I went as Saul, of course, and my wife decided to be creative and go as Holly. Yeah. We served various themed food, blue sky martinis with blue rock salt, Heisenbergers, etc. Plus, having a room full of friends for a live audience reaction made the experience far more special than simply watching it by ourselves could have been. A great send-off to one of the best TV shows ever made. Really looking forward to the coverage of Better Call Saul, and as always, happy to answer any legal questions you have, because unlike most shows, Better Call Saul actually sweats those details.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Fun anecdote, especially about the party. The blue sky, like a this sky with two Y's. Vodka. Yeah.
Cute.
Very cute.
For sure. The and having that live reaction, you know, having people with you, like I watched some of the final season and at the Hollywood Theater, I mentioned that before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just hearing a big collective gasp when you're gasping is really additive.
Yeah. No, just like those last episodes that we watched streamed live.
Yeah.
And just like the texting back and forth during it. Like,
I remember the first time I went to PAX, having to, I might have been leaving from the Double Fine party where I met Ron Gilbert.
Oh,
to make sure I saw that in time. Like, that might have been the same day. It was the same trip.
I remember you calling me like,
this is important.
Yeah. That was a weirdly eventful day because you called me like right after you left that party and said, hey, emergency, we might.
Yeah, we might get Ron Gilbert on the show. Yeah. Is before, you know, which is awesome. Like, I love Ron Gilbert. Uh-huh. Very generous of him to do that. Really fun to talk to him. Mm-hmm. But it was also just before I understood, like, people are nice.
Yeah.
You know, and you can ask him something. I was like, oh, that's not the kind of thing I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's for other people.
It's great.
Yeah.
Tim Schafer got real drunk.
Oh, I'm sure.
Event, yeah. Which, like, if, you know, we can. It's just the Double Fine party at PAX. Like, it's for you. Mm-hmm. But he got real drunk.
Yeah.
Like, glassy-eyed uncle drunk.
Ooh,
it was fun to see. He wasn't like throwing out glassy-eyed uncle philosophies. He didn't become Philosopher Barney.
I think about Philosopher Barney so much.
I love Philosopher Barney.
proposing a segregated afterlife. And Lisa just saying, you're making me uncomfortable.
Love philosophy. He does not become a Philosopher Barney, though. He's still a sweetheart.
Jeremy writes, I finally caught up with Breaking Bad before the final season started airing. So that was the only one that I actually watched live week to week. And that airing was almost perfectly aligned with the start of my freshman year of college. One of my first orders of business during my orientation was to find someone who watched Breaking Bad and owned a TV. Fortunately, I was able to find someone, and then for the next month and a half, every Sunday, I'd head out to the quad, what our school called the four-person dorms, and watch that week's episodes. As the season went on, that crowd grew and grew through word of mouth. It helped that there was a large TV and more space, until by the final episode, there were about 15 people huddled around that screen. It was my first really great social experience watching a TV show, and I still remain friendly with some of the people that I met through that.
Well, that's great. Nice. Yeah, that's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So strange to think of a time where you'd have to find a TV,
mm-hmm.
like and cable, like in order to see the show.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, world's mm-hmm. changing quick.
It is.
Brad says our final response here. Brad says, never have I felt such anticipation for the conclusion of a show as I did for Breaking Bad. How could they possibly conclude Walt's story in a way that gives him what he deserves, but lets him be the cartoonish meth anti-hero we came to love? My personal feelings on the last two episodes are that the writers found a way to do both of those things, long-winded explanation incoming. Granite Slate is the comeuppance that our character should expect. Making shit deals with Nazi meth criminals result in loved ones getting hurt, starting a drug empire will result in your family despising you, and you winding up in a cabin desperate to play a card game while you hide out. Truly, our characters reap what they have sown. You know, this matches the song, Flina, you know, where a guy does terrible things for a woman who doesn't know him, gets shot, and she cradles and kisses him. It's a dying hallucination. In the opening of the finale, Walt steals a car. The keys fall right into his lap. I read that as a signal that everything is going to work out exactly the way Walt wants it to. The universe is going to bend to the audience's will so Walt can succeed and give us one last adventure. The episode has Walt accomplishing everything he sets out to do and giving the audience what they expect. Flina is the writers giving the ending that everyone wanted, but not what the character deserved. I've always read the final two episodes as a way of having their cake and eating it too. Of course, I don't believe the final episode is a hallucination, but I think they both serve as completely different or completely valid endings to the journey of Breaking Bad. Thanks for the amazing season. I look forward to your coverage of Tuco Salamanca's Popcorner Super Bowl commercial in an upcoming episode.
That's hard to watch, that commercial.
Really? I thought it was cute. I don't watch it over and over or anything. It's not like, right. I'm like, man, I start every day with a PC sesh.
Yeah. you don't get Ludovico'd with it. It's just the digital, the digital de-aging stuff it bothers me.
Yeah. It's not ideal. Yeah. It was cute though. I remember just like, oh, that's cute. And I like seeing Tuco.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to what we were talking about earlier. You know, this, the punishment being Granite State.
Yeah.
No. And everything. Mm-hmm. Largely agreed.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's our Breaking Bad coverage. Really, really looking forward to talking about Better Call Saul. Me too.
Yeah. We got a new album art coming. You're going to see that.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Excited about that.
Same music, because when we had Gwen compose, we asked her to make one that would fit both, and it does.
Yeah, and it's also good. No reason to change it.
Yes,
not that the art isn't good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Looking forward to it as well. I've only seen this will be the third time I've seen the first two seasons, I think, but everything else would just be the second time. So it's a special watch. Like watching when you know what's coming is very different with these shows.
Yeah,
yeah, excited. I love Bob Odenkirk.
I do.
I fucking love Bob Odenkirk.
It's great to see him get kind of this big magnum opus.
Yeah. Rhea is great. Mm-hmm. Just everybody's great. Yeah. And Michael Mando's fucking great.
Rhea Seahorn? You mean from the Match at the Gathering tutorial?
Yes. I love her work in Chandelier. Duel of the Planeswalkers. She's one of my all-time faves. Yeah. But like everybody's so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just, man.
I was just thinking about Howard Hamlin earlier today.
Howard Hamlin's fucking incredible. Yeah. I love Price.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the most successful comic relief characters they've done.
Squawk.
You know, on the show. And like there's so much of the middle of the show that's just them saying Mesa Verde.
Uh-huh.
You know, over and over. There's just a couple cases that just comprise 20% of the dialogue for a little while.
Yeah.
And I'm way back into that. What the nerd guy that's the assistant.
Uh-huh.
I want that guy back. You know? A lot of back and forth whether Kimmy's gonna be in the basement or getting an office.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of that shit. Like I give it all to me.
Yeah. You know? That's fucking Chuck. Like one of the best villains in TV.
I fucking love and hate Chuck so much. Like he's a really good man.
Just I don't know, the idea that like these two comedic actors, Bob Odenkirk and Michael McKean, giving these amazing dramatic performances off of each other out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely, like career defining shit. You know, and this is even before we get into Lalo. Like just absolutely a charisma elemental, the likes of which like I feel like the series hasn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like just incredible shit.
A brand new kind of evil. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Like we cover all the bases with the Salamancas.
Yeah.
Like it's just, you know, really just what a weird family, you know, like what a, just everybody deciding at the family reunion, what kind of psycho to be and everyone choosing a different one. Like they drew lots, you know,
I adore it. This is what I do.
Really good stuff. I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm.
God, everything when the final seasons, everything in Monochrome Ha is incredible.
Yeah.
Good shit. Looking forward to it. And thanks, everybody, for listening and joining us on this. About halfway through.
come along with us.
Yeah. We appreciate you coming along. We appreciate you coming, continuing to come along.
If we appreciate you like Gwen.
Show, oh, yeah. We sorry. Do appreciate Gwen. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Gwen. Mm-hmm. Okay. We appreciate Gwen. We appreciate it if you would go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. Doing so supports the network, lets us keep doing shows.
Yep.
We also would love it if you gave us a rating or review, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, yeah. You know, anywhere there. We really appreciate that. Tell your friends. That's basically it, I think.
Think so?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, no, nothing else.
Nothing else.
We just appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of appreciation.
Quit saying that word so much.
It's the only thing I feel.
Okay. All right. No. Yeah. You're just going to fucking high ground me. Okay.
I'm high grounded. Yeah. Until next time, boy, don't do everything, anything that Walt does.
Go ahead.
You're going to make a joke instead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, don't go into teaching.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, do everything that Saul does.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which seems like good advice.